I can say is wowie, wow, wow. The reason being is because this show, as we state over and over and over, the fastest growing family talk show in the universe, currently behind the planet Morphalon with Family Flocksnock. Only show with a higher rating than us. But wowie, wow, wow. I looked at the ratings real quickly before coming on the air, and we are just exploding. Thank you very much for telling all your friends about us. Thank you very much for telling all of your family about us. Thank you very much for spreading the message. Please continue to do so. Because this is Fix the Family, Fix America radio show live on the air. Now, you be sure and give us a call if you would like to weigh in on any of the stuff we're going to talk about at 347-677-0692. This is Fix the Family, Fix America. I am your esteemed, humbled, most gracious host that you are here, Jack Hatfield. Thank you very much. Got something to tell you real quick. Guess what next Wednesday is? It is our third Disease and the Diet workshop next Wednesday at Earth Fair in Columbia, South Carolina. You've got to be there. Earth Fair in Columbia, South Carolina at 6 o'clock. The title of this is What If Cancer is Not a Disease? It is vitally important for you to come and become educated about the myths, and we're doing an expose on this cancer with the outlandish growth of everyone getting cancer and conventional medicine not having any improvements in the last 30 years. It's vitally important for you to understand, what if cancer is not a disease? If we're treating it like a disease, is that the correct way to go? As I said before, my name is Jack Hatfield, and you are listening to Fix the Family, Fix America, where we do four parts in a series plus one. First part is positive fathering, then make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success, and then disease and the diet, the fight against degenerative diseases that are causing family problems across this planet. We are here, and also, as stated, our ever-present, ever-omniscient war on vegetable oils and soybeans in particular as an ingestible component of our life. We added that mantra last week, and we are not going to stop that until it occurs. And we will allow soybean oil and all our vegetables we use on machinery as a lubricant to keep machinery from grinding down, but we will not continue to accept it as a ingestible component to our human body. Oh, wow. What about all the news this week? We were ahead of the curve last week, ahead of the curve, because you, every one of you that are spreading the message about this, making it the fastest growing, one of the largest, soon to be largest program on family news and information and everything else and diet that could possibly imagine. You are making this to be number one, but we were here ahead of the curve just last week talking about the 12 items that get so much pesticides in them, the Dirty Dozen, and then we talked about the Clean 15, but we also said even when the Clean 15, it had little pesticides, and it's your decision on whether a little pesticide is enough for you. Now, here's the, can small amounts of pesticides hurt you? Well, the government says consuming pesticides in low amounts, that is not going to harm you. Of course it's not. But, as you know, studies show the association between pesticides and health problems such as, cancer, attention deficit disorder, and nervous system disorders, and say exposure could weaken immune systems. Now, pesticides are designed, pesticides are designed to kill things. Let me repeat this. Pesticides are designed to kill things, and most of the time, pesticides are designed to upset the nervous system, the central nervous system in the insect. So it's not surprising that they're finding this to be nervous system disorder related and attention deficit disorder related. See how that works? Pesticides are designed to destroy the central nervous system of the insect it is trying to kill. And when we're consuming it, even in small amounts, over and over and over and over, we're finding out the pesticides and its association between attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, and nervous system disorders, and problems such as cancer. Because a child's brain is a growing brain, and the brain goes through extraordinary development. And so while that brain's coming up and you get pesticides in that brain, what do you think is going to happen? Not good. Not good. So we exposed you to those Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 last week, but look at here. Major news site came about yesterday, so we are a week ahead of the curve. So your news first. Right here, the Family Fix America. That's why you're listening. That's why you're telling everyone about us. That's why everyone's tuning in. That's why this coming the greatest show in the world. Woo! We had a father of the weekend, and I'd like to right now that we wish everyone a belated happy Father's Day. Fathers out there that are currently caring that you're in the hood role. I hope that you got everything you wished for on that Father's Day. For those fathers who are currently not in the fatherhood role, I hope your children talk to you and tried to get you to come on board, because that is important, that I hope you didn't get a tie. All right, so before, I'll go ahead and rehash this Dirty Dozen in case you weren't tuning in during last week. Shame on you, but you need, I'll rehash this Dirty Dozen in 2 seconds. Get ready, we're going to write them down. Pen and paper last week. These are absolutely, let me tell you how bad this. If you don't eat these 12 fruits and vegetables unless they're organic, you reduce your exposure to pesticides by up to 80%. And they found that these foods contain up to 47 to 67 pesticides per serving. Let me repeat that. Per serving. So you grab you a stalk of celery late at night, start dipping it in some regular old peanut butter, and you are eating 67 pesticides along with that crunchy, gorgeous treat. How much awesome is that, huh? I now am craving a stalk of celery. I don't even have my libation yet, people, but it's being delivered to me at this time. I forgot to mention to you what it's going to be. This time it is a wonderful blueberry pomegranate mixture. Blueberry and pomegranate this time. I normally had in the last 2 weeks, for some reason, I am staying purple, but last 2 weeks was the blueberry acai berry. This one's blue. Ooh, it's tart. It's very tart. But excellent. All right, I hope you got your pen and paper. Here you go. Don't eat these unless they're absolutely organic, unless you would like to chew on the 67 pesticides per serving, not per food, not per product, per serving. And your government, your USDA, and your USFDA says that a serving is just a little half cup. A little half cup. Just a little half cup. So, don't eat celery. Write that down, celery. Peaches. This blueberry pomegranate coats the mouth and leaves an enticing mouthfeel like a nice glass of wine. Strawberries. Celery, peaches, strawberries. Apples. Blueberries. Nectarines. Bell peppers, any color, greens of any kind, cherries, so wow, let's go back to the greens of any kind. So you grab your mixed greens mixture prepared, and you plop yourself down a salad, and you top it with your favorite dressing, and you are eating 67 pesticides along with estrogen-producing anti-nutrient soybean oil on your salad. That is an incredible meal, is it not? Then we move on to cherries. Cherries. Potatoes. Grapes. And lettuce. Now, interesting, they have imported grapes on this list. Don't know why they said they're clean suddenly because they're in the country. Don't know why. All right, now these, absolutely, if you have to get these without being organic, you can get these. Onions, avocados, corn, pineapples, mango, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi fruit, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potato, sweet onions. All right, now you know. And remember, we were ahead of the curve on that. Ahead of the curve, telling you about that last week. But major news sites are talking about it this week, so we are helping people get news stories. Another news story that came up on my thing today was there was a study. There was a study, your children. We talked about this just last week. There was a study that your children are influenced by cartoon characters and other animated TV and movie stars in what they eat. Really? Really? A kid looks at seven different boxes and they notice SpongeBob on the front of one of the boxes and they want that one. And it took a study to figure this out. Give me a break, people. The use of TV and movie characters on food packaging, according to Dr. Thomas Robinson, MD, a professor of child health, says, it is designed to access certain feelings, memories, and associations. Of course it is. All advertising is designed to assess certain feelings, memories, and associations, even the ones geared at adults. Why do you think there's so much sex in every ad? Why do you think blue jean and beer companies have nothing but pretty people all over the place? It is all designed to access certain feelings, memories, and associations. Why would child products be any different? If a child likes SpongeBob, SpongeBob on the thing is going to be his most popular choice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real simple. This is not hard. Now, we're going to go into something very important. They now can read your mind better than you thought. This is amazing. Let's go into a head trip for this. Yeah. Make sense. I hear you. I need a real producer that times this better. All right, what they're saying. Just came out today. Brain scans are able to predict what you will do better than you can yourself and offer a powerful tool for health officials or advertisers seeking to motivate consumers. Now, really, advertisements are seeking to motivate consumers to do what? Purchase their product. That is right. Purchase their product. Now, scientists found a way to interpret real-time brain images to show whether people who viewed messages, and this particular message was about using sunscreen, they interpreted the real-time brain images to decide or find out whether people would actually use sunscreen during the following week. The scans were more accurate than the volunteers were. So when the scientists saw the brain do a certain thing in this scan, they knew that the person would utilize, in this instance, sunscreen. Whereas the person told the scientists, no, I won't be using more sunscreen. So we were trying to figure out, according to Falk, Emily Falk and her colleagues at the University of California, Los Angeles, in the Journal of Neuroscience, we're trying to figure out whether there was a hidden wisdom, hidden wisdom that the brain contains, because many people decide to do things, but then don't do them. So, with functional magnetic resonant imaging, or an MRI, with fMRI, the colleagues were able to go beyond good intentions to predict actual behavior. Now, what that fMRI used the magnetic field to measure blood flow in the brain. It showed which brain regions are more active compared to others, and it requires careful interpretation. Now, they recruited 20 young men and women for their experiment. While in the fMRI scanner, they read and listened to messages about the safe use of sunscreen, mixed in with other... Now, yes. Fix the Family, Fix America has talked about sunscreen and its safe use and how sunscreen use has went up over 4 billion%, but yet skin cancer rates rose. We'll get into that later. They read and listened to a message about the safe use of sunscreen mixed in with other messages so they would not guess what the experiment was about. So basically it said, use sunscreen. You like blue. Use sunscreen. Crayons are pretty. Use sunscreen. Coffee's fun, stuff like that, right? So on the day of the experiment, before the scanning session, each participant indicated their sunscreen use over the prior week. And then they also told them their intentions to use sunscreen in the next week and their attitudes towards sunscreen. After they saw the messages, the volunteer answered more questions about their intentions and then got a goodie bag that contained, among other things, sunscreen towelettes. A week later, we did a surprise follow-up to find out whether they had used sunscreen. Now, half the volunteers correctly predicted whether they would use sunscreen. The research team analyzed and reanalyzed the MRI scans to see if they could find any brain activity that would do better. So they found activity in one area of the brain, in particular part of the medial prefrontal cortex, provided them the best information. From that region of the brain, they can predict for 3/4 of the people whether they will increase their use of sunscreen beyond what they say they will do. It is the one region of the prefrontal cortex that we know is disproportionately larger in humans than in other primates. This region is associated with self-awareness and seems to be critical for thinking about yourself and thinking about your preferences and values. Now, the team is looking for other regions of the brain that might add to the accuracy of the technique. Now, the findings are important for advertisers seeking to hone a motivational message. They can be equally important for public health experts or radio shows trying to persuade people to make healthier choices. The team is now preparing a report on experiments to predict whether people would quit smoking after seeing motivational messages. So, What do you think of that? Does anyone have any comments on that? Please call us in 347-677-0692. We look forward to hearing from you at all times. A little bit of libation. Again, blueberry pomegranate. Still purple. Blueberries definitely win in the color department almost every time, but I am a fan of that little fruit and that little berry, excuse me, and have people calling in going, it's not a fruit. Okay. No, not as much as you. You're correct. Not as much as you. All right. Now, lifespan of food. Let's talk about this. Let's get a little healthy on our food here real quick. Oh, by the way, we announced last week, just in case you were wondering, if you were listening before lunch, which a lot of people do, we told you to please look out before you went to a Subway restaurant, and that's all we basically said. But then now they're finding out that these salmonella outbreak have resulted in almost 100 confirmed cases of illnesses of people who ate at Subway sandwich restaurants. So you people in Illinois did not listen to me. So you listeners in Illinois, please tell other people to start listening to this show. And it would have saved all of the people going out to Subway on that day because you would not have went on Wednesday. So very crucial. Now, they withdrew, Subway, by the way, withdrew onions, green peppers, tomatoes, and lettuce from its restaurants as a precaution. So hopefully they are no longer there, and they're cleaning their stuff a lot better. But remember, we were ahead of the curve and told you, if you were going to Subway, you might want to change that and go have a wrap or something somewhere else. That's just what I was saying, and turned out to be true. All right, fathers and mothers, we were about to go into lifespan of food, but I want to go into this beforehand. This is important because everyone uses wet wipes on their children a lot of times. And then people are now actually coming up with moist wet wipes in their bathroom as well. There was a whole period, I think, 3-4 years ago where the wet toilet paper tissue was all the rage and came out. So you need to be careful, though, that they're finding that people using these wet wipes with the chemical, this is going to be tough, methyl chloroisothiazolinone. Methyl chloroisothiazolinone. Or MCI. It has caused a particular concern. Woo, can't talk. Have a drink. Because a mailman age 49 had a rash around his area, so painful that he couldn't walk for months. He has been treated by several doctors and had to take it without success, and because of that, he had to take a 2-month leave from his job. It wasn't until he stopped using Kimberly Clark's Cottonelle Moist Wipes, which contain MCI, the problem cleared up. Another one, man, suffered for 20 years, improved drastically within 6 weeks of dropping the moist wipes he was using. So he had people are using this, having problems. It doesn't appear to be large because it seems to me there's a new report of 4 people. But the reason I'm telling you this is because you might want to check that baby wipes here causing issues as well. So mothers, fathers, whether you use the moist toilet paper on yourself or whether you use wet wipes, which are a common cause of allergy because the allergens are almost always caused by preservatives. So you need to watch the baby wipes and your
wet toilet paper. Very important. Very, 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 very important. Now back to the lifespan of food. This is for, should have did this before Father's Day. But this is for fathers who are maybe single, maybe at home, without a wife helping them out, or without any significant other helping them out, and they look in the fridge. And the reason I'm saying this is because my dad, with the problems that we have with my mom, my dad can look in a refrigerator and look at something that looks like it died a year and a half ago, and he goes, oh, this looks okay. So this report basically is for all the men that were sitting there and seeing not knowing how long food should be kept in the fridge before it's bad. So this is important. Now, meat. Meat has a lifespan of 2 days to a week. So if you grab some ground beef in the market, make your burgers or pasta sauce right away. Now, fresh meat, fish, beef, pork, and poultry. I don't know what pork is. I think it's between pork and beef. Won't last 2 days in your fridge. Leftover cooked meat a little bit longer, but as a general rule, try to eat it with cooked pork chops. Should be gobbled up days. Holiday ham can go for a week. Ham sandwiches, if you don't want it to go to waste. Bacon, unless frozen, has a similar shelf life. Now, the good general rule that if it smells bad, it's bad. Meats will stink when they're rotten or even beginning to turn. So red meat and pork chops will also turn grayish in color. Fish will smell, well, really fishy, and fresh fish will have virtually no odor, just like sushi. Poultry is the most difficult to pin down because raw chicken can smell sour and develop slick film when it goes bad. So, cheese. I've seen my dad cut the mold off cheese and eat it, and I do believe that's not good. And I've always said that doesn't seem to make sense, but of course hasn't caused that any problems. Cheese is curdled milk, a pretty shelf-stable dairy product. It can and will succumb to mold. Soft and stinky cheeses like cottage cheese, cream cheese, blue cheese, camembert, and feta should be eaten within a week. Hard cheeses like cheddar and parmesan will stay fresh up to 2 months. So you can buy the 2-pound block of Parmesan. Now, it says when you see mold on soft cheese, throw it out. By the time the mold becomes visible, it's already infected the whole lot. Now, some cheese is intentionally moldy like blue cheese, so keep tabs on it. Look for any red or white mold. And if hard cheese starts growing mold, cut off, eat the rest. The mold won't affect the flavor. So there you go. Cheddar and Parmesan, bad cutting off the mold, all good. Condiments, 3 months to a year. Ketchup will keep 8 to 12 months. Some say it lasts 2 years. Mayo used to be unstable, but it has been pasteurized now, and modern mayo will stay fresh up to 6 months. Relish will survive about a year. Mustard's very hardy, kicking up for 8 months. Salad dressings, we don't even want to talk about those unless you made them yourself. Soy sauce will only last about 3 months in the fridge. And butter will last up to a year before it becomes inedible. Jams and jellies are called preserves for a good reason. A jar will last you a year. Natural maple syrup or the other stuff will last just as long. Now, condiments don't exactly publish obituaries. Mold of any color, shape, or texture is a good sign and you should throw them away. Cooked veggies and grains, 3 to 7 days. Lifespan of cooked veggies is shorter than that of fresh variety. So once you cook it, eat it, 3 days. Are done. Soup should not be slurped down after 3 days. Leftover pasta is okay. Bowl will last up to 5 days. Rice seems benign, but it can also make you sick with bacteria. So if you steam a pot of rice, Throw it out after 7 days. Stews or leftovers eaten within a week. Now, thanks to our plastic container buddies, it's exceedingly tough to tell when leftovers have turned. Now, look for dried out bits around the edges. Mold, definitely throw it away. And your food, if it doesn't smell good, like it did when you cooked it, throw it away. Alcohol, guys, I know that you're listening heavy here. Moms, too, I'm sure. Big-name beers, pasteurized and filters, will keep longer than microbrews. In fact, they'll last about 3 months. If you store your beer at room temperature, which is not good for you, it can go bad in a month. Now, in general, follow the freshness date printed on the label, and if you have doubts, take a swig. If it's gross, I promise you, you will spit it out. Unopened white wine can turn sour within a year, so there is no aged white wine, people. Now, red wine stored in a cool, dark place can last for decades. Now, once you open your wine, you must keep it in the fridge. Heat turns wine into vinegar. In fact, vinegar is a derivative of the French words vin and agir, sour, which is wine and sour. So if you're not careful, wine will easily turn on you. If you put the cork back in and store it upright in the fridge, your wine will last up to 3 days. Now, after that, you'll have yourself a good bottle of vinegar after a week. Now, rum, gin, vodka, whiskey, and brandy, no expiration date. Now, beer doesn't usually get lounge around the fringe, but it will start to taste flat, sour, and bitter when it's getting weak. Some wines are, of course, meant for aging. Others will taste worse over time. You can go and find out about wines with us at Fix Family Fix America, because we talk about wines and all the other portions of good life, because it is important for you to have a good life and a good family and a good fatherhood, a good motherhood, good parenting, and good children, and also reveal your success. We're here. Now, canned foods don't last forever, but if they're stored in a good dry place, they'll keep for about a year. Some will keep even longer. Open it up, give it a sniff. If the can is bulging at all, toss it without opening it. The bulge could be botulism. Frozen foods can last 1 month to a year. Frozen veggies are good for 3 months. Bread, 3 months. Ground beef, 4 months. Chicken parts, 9 months. Freezer burn is more like desiccation, where the food dries up. The surface of anything in the freezer, when exposed to super dehydrating air, will dry out. Ice cream or sorbet will develop ice crystals. If you see those crystals, throw the container out instead of bearing the taste of the rough, dry, yet pasty outcome. Keeping your food in suspended animation may be easy on the pocketbook, could be bad for your health. If you have doubts about your leftovers, trash them. Food poisoning is not a fun thing to do. Really, really wanted to do that for you guys, because there's a lot and a lot and a lot of people that are eating, trying to stretch that dollar, and I'm getting a lot of cases of people calling me going, okay, I just cooked this last week, and we ate on it all week. And normally that's okay. I just want to make sure that you know the rules, you know what it's going to be, and that you're having a good, vigilant watch over what you're feasting and what you're giving to your children, because you do not want a whole family sitting there with food poisoning. You don't even want to give minor food poisoning to people, which people don't even notice. They just call it, ooh, must have been something I ate. So there is important stuff for you. I realize that might have been a little boring, but I had to do that because of the amount of people in today's economy that we're hearing about stretching that dollar. So we really, really wanted to find that out for you and get that done so that you can be better. Now, again, sorry if it was boring, if you weren't listening, but now you know exactly what to do to stretch that dollar and be vigilant about what you're feeding your children, because that's what we care about here. We'll be right back. In our hilarious segment, since it was Father's Day, men did some pretty crazy stuff over the weekend, and we had two Australian men that required surgery after they got into a drunken pact to promise to shoot each other in the buttocks. The two friends, both 34 years old, from the Grand Prix region in Victoria, Australia, decided to undertake the experiment after enjoying a few libations on Father's Day evening. The pair thought it would be interesting to see whether it would hurt to get shot with an air rifle and whether its pellets would penetrate the skin. Now, if they've never used an air rifle to kill a squirrel or a bird, they should know that it would penetrate. So they shot each other in the buttocks around 5:30 local time, Father's Day, and concluded they were both fine, apart from suffering a little bit of pain, which of course was numbed highly by the few libations. 2 days later, they were both in the hospital for surgery to remove the slug pellets from their buttocks and legs. The men will have firearms license withdrawn and firearms confiscated. Don't know why they would. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to do it anymore. I'm just guessing that they are not going to do that anymore. But on Father's Day, we get a little crazy. Can you handle it? Can you say it out loud with me? It's our day to go crazy, but not that crazy, people. Remember, you can grow your own bulletproof vest with your love handles. You can stop a knife attack with your beer gut. Your head, we can't grow anything on our head yet. And now we know that our buttocks does not help us from an air rifle penetration. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get this knowledge anywhere else. This is why this is becoming the largest family talk show in the universe right now. I need all of you to promise me something. As you listen to this, either live or later on this week, we have much listeners over the weekends. We may even begin to change this program to be on weekends because of the massive, massive listening rates to the recording that's happening on the weekends. Just a heads up, just in case you listen to us live, we would like you to understand that we may be taking this show to the weekend soon, which will make it an incredible, incredible jump in getting you to pay attention. But right now, I want you to go make me a pact and go tell 10, 12, 40, 100 people that you know that they need to come on Wednesdays, 11, 12, or listen between Wednesdays to each show and never miss a show, because, like I said, we save people's lives from the subway thing. We save people's lives from eating pesticides at night way before your other news media. So this is important for you to listen every day, and that's why this show, Fix the Family, Fix America, four parts plus one, positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success and disease in the diet, the fight to stop degenerative diseases and their plight on families, and our war on vegetable oils, in particular soybean, and stopping it as an ingestible component of our diet. Thank you for listening again. My name is Jack Hatfield. We have a few more stories to go, so let's have a little break real quick, and we'll come back and talk about not shooting each other in the butt. That's very important. Bahunkus. And we'll go into some more news that's going to help you out, get through your day, and simply make a better life for you and your family. But first, before we go into that, our nationwide print partner for Fix the Family, Fix America is Soho Office. And in particular, the one located in Columbia, South Carolina, in the Village of Sand Hill. Jay down there at the Soho office will help you create a better business portfolio for you. You start your small business right now in your recession, you need to have a professional look. So business cards, letterheads, envelopes, all the printing needs you need, meeting rooms, phone, internet access, it is all there at Soho office, particularly the one in the Village of Sand Hill, Columbia, South Carolina. I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, oh, your business cards are ill. I have these business cards that don't. They're written bled all the way to the end on both sides, shiny, glossy cards you can see across the room. They are absolutely amazing. And if you want to know where to get them, you go down to Soho office because that's where you get them. So every person who's ever held one of my business cards, and I have six different business cards, Soho office is the place to go. Go to sandhill.sohooffice.com, give him a email and say, I want business cards just like Jack's, and he will set you up. And if you don't, let's say you don't have a logo. Let's say you're so new to creating your business, you have no idea what to create. They have tremendous people that will help you create and design a logo, give you your business card designer, get your envelopes, your letterheads, everything else to make you look professional instead of just a one-man show out of your basement. And get you out there changing this economy around one person at a time. That is correct. Our nationwide print partner, go there now, sandhill.sohooffice.com. Soho Office, the place where your business will do its best. Fantastic. You got to get down there, people. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Family, Fix America, always dedicated to families. And prior to becoming a family, men and women have to connect. And because of that connection, it's very, you know, you have to connect so that you can create the family of your dreams. Now, we're finding out, this is an interesting article, mothers and potential mothers and fathers. If you are having trouble becoming pregnant, they have found something else out. They have found out that women's bodies are a little more choosier than they thought previously. Researchers in Australia's University of Adelaide said sperm plays a more complicated role in the mating game than first thought. Ladies, fathers, potential fathers and mothers, if you're having problems, listen carefully to hear. We try to help families in all aspects. Professor from University of Robinson Institute said sperm communicates with the female reproductive tract, communicates in quotes, and helps prepare the female body for nurturing a fetus. If the female system does not approve of the sperm's message, it can attack them. I'm not kidding. If the lady's body doesn't really like your sperm's message, it will attack them. They discover that sperm doesn't just fertilize an egg. It contains signaling molecules that are responsible for activating immune changes in women so they can accept a foreign substance in the body. In other words, that foreign substance going into a female would be attacked by the immune system if the sperm did not trick it and activate immune changes in the women so that it could accept the sperm. We talk about the immune system all the time in disease and diet. And here is another pointer to that. Your body is designed to stop all intruders, diseases, microbes, bacteria, whatever you want. And that is why, I'm going to get right back to this thing, ladies and potential fathers. I know you're interested here. That is why we have this Wednesday on the 30th at Earth Fair in Columbia, our workshop called What If Cancer is Not a Disease? I want everyone to be there this week, next week, next Wednesday. It is a stunning expose on cancer and how conventional treatments have not changed one bit in the last 30 years. And so now it's time to start looking at this disease in a different way, if we can even call it disease. So be there. What If Cancer is Not a Disease, 6 o'clock, Earth Fair, next Wednesday. We're going to talk about it again on next show. But we really would like you to be there. If you'd like to get all the tidbits and help and stuff that you cannot wait for every Wednesday for this hour, and again, the show may move to the weekend. If you cannot wait, you can get our updates that come all the time. You can fan us up on Disease and Diet on Facebook, and then you can also get the Disease and Diet workbooks, announcements, videos, and everything else by going to www.diseaseandthediet.com. Really looking forward to you going there, signing up. It's only $20 a month. You get videos from me. You get news. You get dietary help, degenerative help. You get every bit of help that you possibly can imagine, not just from me, but from doctors and other people from the world inside our e-zine and inside our communications with you. DiseaseandTheDiet.com. Sign up today and be the first to get all of this instead of waiting till Wednesday. Now, back to the sperm and the woman and the egg. Sperm, again, sends out signaling to activate immune changes in the women so they can accept a foreign substance in the body. Now, researchers found similar humans, not all male sperm is good at communicating. So, some female bodies also have very high standards, just like humans. Guys go, they're pretty. You're pretty. You're real pretty. And the woman goes, oh, my gosh, this man is a beast, not far removed from the animal kingdom. I do not accept him. So, ladies, your body may be smarter than you are, especially if you had a few libations and you brought that animal beast home. Your body may at least say, this is not good enough for me, and we'll throw it all away, saving you from having to look at his mug all the time. Now, the male provides information that increases the chance of conception and progression of pregnancy, but the female body does have a quality control system which needs ultra-convincing that your sperm is compatible and judges whether conditions are right for reproducing. In other words, you could be stressed or going through different changes. Your body says, it's not time for this. Not time to be conception right now. It's not time for that. So the information that we just learned in this research is going to prompt researchers to look at ways of encouraging a woman's body to better tolerate her partner's semen if they are having trouble become pregnant. So if you're having trouble, potential mothers and fathers, this is one thing that may be helping you. And you can think about helping yourself in this manner, because a lot of pent-up feelings are hidden a lot of times when couples are having problems conceiving. And ladies, you want to make sure that those pent-up feelings are not simply issues with the male, whereas you are trying to conceive because of reasons that you probably shouldn't, but yet you're still mad at the male, or vice versa. You want to make sure in all family-based decisions that you're going forward with your soulmate, your friend, your confidant, your everything before conceiving those children, because that's vitally important. We really want you to make conscious decisions. And if something were to happen, even then, it is time for you to buck it up and make the conscious decisions to raise that child and not make that child a burden on society, but make it another chance for society to get it right. Every child is precious. Fix the Family, Fix America loves every one of them. If you're working on making children, God bless you, and I wish you all the luck in the world. And maybe that article can help you if you're not working on children and you're thinking about the family later on in life. Hopefully this information will help you as well to look carefully at your decisions and make sure that you feel the love so that your body will choose that it's not a good time to conceive. It may do that in despite of what you think you're feeling. So, important research right there for potential fathers and mothers. Really, really glad that they're doing that. Neat to learn that there's some communication way before egg touches sperm. Very, very, very interesting stuff right there. Now, remember also last week we talked about the, I believe it was cadmium. That was on the glasses of the Happy Meals in Shrek Happy Meals. Well, now a group is now going to sue McDonald's over the Happy Meals toys. They're charging that the McDonald's unfairly and deceptively markets the toys to children. Now, you would think that they're suing them because of the cadmium in the glasses. No. Are the toys in your child's Happy Meal making a fact? Right back to cartoon characters make children buy their food. But again, parents, you have total control over whether the child yells for that SpongeBob product or Shrek product versus feeding them correctly. This is not a child issue, ladies and gentlemen. This group trying to sue McDonald's, unfairly and deceptively marketing the toys to children, is simply trying to say parents are not parenting. You are too stupid to parent, so we'll save you. Center for Science in the Public Interest. So far, we haven't seen a lot of that from this particular group. They are saying McDonald's marketing has the effect of conscripting America's children into an unpaid drone army of word-of-mouth marketers, causing them to nag their parents to bring them to McDonald's. Since the dawn of time, ladies and gentlemen, a child has nagged his parents for something they wanted because when you're a child, it is all about you. You're growing up, you haven't learned communication skills and unselfishness, and you haven't got all that because when you are born, you have to be selfish because you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to do all the things that make you grow. This is a normal aspect of growing up. So since the dawn of time, I promise you that the children's come up, where's daddy? Is daddy going to bring us some dinosaur meat today? Or whatever. The children have went, nagged. I'm sure back in that day, though, it was more like grunts. Like, That's just my guess. I have no idea. We'll have to research it. Get my people on that. Anyway, since the dawn of time, children have nagged their parents to bring them to wherever they want to go and whatever they want to do. So this whole basis of McDonald's marketing has the effect of conscripting America's children, look at these big words, into an unpaid drone army of word-of-mouth marketers. Excuse me. All of the myths and fallacies over diet comes from advertising and media falling along, trying to get you into an unpaid drone army of word-of-mouth marketers. How in the heck do you think soybean oil has grown to where it is today? And again, we are still on it. We are on the war for soybean and vegetable oil to no longer be an ingestible component to our diet. But you're gonna say it's for the children. People, Parents, I know you. The parents who listen to this show are parents. They don't need the Centers for Science and Public Interest to tell McDonald's that you're marketing to my child and making them nag for their toy. You're a parent. If you don't want to feed your child McDonald's, you simply say no. Not difficult stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And I know you. My audience, Fix the Family, Fix America, does not need this lawsuit. This audience is smart. This audience is making sure their children are eating better. This audience is making sure their children are growing up correctly. Mothers and fathers, whether they be single or together, are parents. Take pride and responsibility in what they do. The fact that this place, this little Center for Science, trying to sit there and say, you are too stupid to parent, we'll take care of it for you. As McDonald's communications, Vice President of Communications, William Whitman says, the McDonald's cannot disagree more with CSPI's assertion their toys violate laws. McDonald's is proud of their Happy Meal, which gives customers wholesome food, not a true statement, unless it's the apples, and they're not organic. So pay attention to that. And toys of the highest quality and safety. Well, they kind of didn't when they did the cadmium on the glasses. Not good. Getting a toy, this is a true statement here. Getting a toy is just one part of a fun family experience at McDonald's. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. If you're a parent and you don't want your kid to eat that, you say no. Now, California, Santa Clara County thought that everyone in your county is too stupid to parent, and they banned restaurants from giving away toys and other freebies that come with high-calorie meals aimed at kids. Remember, we said it was a certain percentage of calories, so we did the fried Twinkie, which would fit right under that, and we could offer a toy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time. I want you to know next Wednesday, be there for What If Cancer Is Not a Disease. Also go to diseaseandthediet.com. Get subscribed. Get your breaking news. Get your workbooks. You've got to do it. Fix the family. Fix America. We're right here for you. I want you to think about what you're doing today. I know that you're not too stupid to parent. I know that when your kid says, I want this rec toy at McDonald's, you simply go buy the toy if you want to and not the food. You are the best parents in the world. This is the greatest family show in the world. Thank you. Kiss your wife. Kiss your children. Thank you and see you next week.